truly the music is to touch the heart, the message is to touch our hearts. But the whole goal is to sing Blessed Be Your Name. In fact, choir, I'm going to have you sing the invitational today. Jared, don't go too far so we can... We're going to have you guys come back and sing that for the invitation in just a little while. Do you remember your first love? I mean, maybe your first kiss. I remember 12 years old. I remember I married my first love. Not at 12, of course. She didn't know it at the time, but she's my first love. And little did she realize that we would be together. And I told her father recently, I've had her longer than you did. And she still ends up back at her mom and dad's house, though. And but, you know, there's so many things about your first love. You remember the first time you gave them a love note. The first time you told them, I like you. Do you like me? Please return. Oh, maybe that was just in the academy. I don't know. But you remember so many things, where you were. I wanted to spend all my time when we first started seeing each other, talking about my wife. I wanted to spend all my time with her. At that time, I worked at Gorelick Farms, and I remember working second shift, sometimes third shift. And she worked at CVS up the hill. There's up the hill and down the hill. And she worked both different times. She worked up the hill. And I would spend all lunchtime with her. I'd bring her lunch. I'd bring her something every day, whether it was flowers or I'd bring her a stuffed animal. And usually at that time they had the Hallmark store down here in the plazas. I was buying little bride and groom stuffed animals. We had all kinds of bride and groom, everything. And don't ask. I spent a lot of money on things that I don't even know where they are today. But it wasn't to just show my love. I wanted to express my love. I wanted to be with my true love. Do you remember your first love? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Revelation chapter number 2, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that beholdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of its place. Except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Thank you. You may be seated. You're already seated. I never said stand up. You may be seated anyway. Here, the Bible is talking about you've left your first love. You've forgotten some very, very key principles because you've left that very first time that you remember the embrace that God had for you when you trusted Him as your Savior. When everything changed the day you got saved. Everything changed the day you trusted and you've embraced the idea or the thought or Jesus embraced you. He says you've left that. It's not a feeling. Sometimes I reflect on the old Toyota commercial, "Oh, what a feeling." And it shows a person jumping and clicking their heels because they just bought their very first Toyota. Which, I don't know if you want to buy a Toyota. That's your thing. But it won't produce anything except, oh, I bought a car. It's a car. It's a vehicle. It does not love you back. You say, my car does. I know you've named it. We used to have Patty Pulsar. We had Patty Pulsar. We had a Nissan NX Pulsar two-door. And it was a five-speed. It was her car. But, oh, I loved to drive it. When the children started coming along and the car seat would barely fit in the back seat, we had to look for something else. And, when we think about the first love, and this is the idea here in verse number 4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, against thee, he said, because thou hast left thy first love. You know, nothing in our love language is too much to ask. They could ask us to go to the moon, and we would be willing to do it. We would do backflips if that's what they want. We would learn a new language if that's what it required. In fact, we did learn a new language, a little bit of French, man, oui. But we wanted to spend time together, at least, well, I can't speak for her, but I wanted to spend time with her. And boy, that time, it seemed to go by so quick, that 45 minutes, maybe it wasn't supposed to be 45 minutes, a half an hour lunch, boy, it just goes by so quick. And I remember the day I brought a baby bunny to her, a living baby bunny. Oh, it was exciting. I've told you the story before. And I was on my way up the hill there in CVS headquarters, and all of a sudden I saw something in the side of the road right near the gutter there, and it was a little baby bunny. Oh, I'm going to get kudos for this one. I'm going to get lots of love from the one who I love. And sure enough, everybody in the office is, oh, isn't he special? And I won't tell you the rest of that story. You have to ask her about that story, about the baby bunny. That bunny, well, that's okay. But I did it for the reason that I cared about the one that I love. And did you know Jesus loved the world, that he gave his only... God so loved the world, the Bible says, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Boy, that's love. That's love. The church at Ephesus, though, in our text, had one problem. You say, well, I can think of a few more that churches have. Well, yeah, that's true. Churches are full of people with problems. If you don't have any problems, talk to me after. I'll share some of mine with you. You say, you have problems? Yeah, I serve the same God you do. And he watches over every problem that we have. That song, Blessed Be Your Name, is just, it's a moving song, but it stirs my heart to praise the Lord because of who he is, not because of who we are. It's not that we demand an audience with God, but blessed be your name. The church at Ephesus was doing everything right, but something had been left out of the equation for the church. Other than that, everybody thought they were pretty good from the outside. They look good. Verse number 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and hast not fainted. This is a good thing. He's commending them. Evidently, they were about the business of the church, and that's a good thing. Worship, Bible study, and everything like that, ministering one to another. They had a clear understanding of the gospel. And doctrine. Doctrine's very important. I've had someone tell me that doctrine doesn't matter. I said, excuse me? Doctrine matters. It matters what you believe. Oh, no, it doesn't. Yeah, if I don't believe that Jesus died and rose again and he's coming again, why would I place my faith and trust in someone who died on the cross for my sins? Doctrine matters. The triunity of God. And so the church has all the right ingredients in our text, as well as does our church. good Bible study, sound teaching. We have good worship, and every now and then a few good, as you've said, amens. Adequate ventilation. Our ministry in the community is it's adequate. We have all kinds of different things. We have a fellowship in the summertime. We have all kinds of wonderful ministries, a Reformers Unanimous ministry that helps the addicted and those that are struggling with stubborn habits. We have a music ministry. We have a Sunday school ministry. We have all kinds of great things that's adequate. And I wonder if the Lord says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Now, if you're saved and you're born again, bought by the blood of Christ, and you know the day that you got saved, you changed directions. Many of you have a testimony. I can remember almost every one of you the day you came to church, that first day. You may not have gotten saved that first time that you came to church, and you may not have really understood everything that was going on coming from a religious background, but there was something that was different after you got saved. How excited you were. Just like me driving up the hill. Oh, it was exciting. Pitter-patter, pitter-patter. I'm going to get to see her again. I get to go to church again. In fact, I remember asking if she would sit with me in church before we even knew each other, really. It was when I was transitioning from a Boy Scout. See, a boy is a Boy Scout from the age of, well, whatever, till the age of 12. When he turns 12, a boy becomes a Girl Scout. Same thing with girls. Girls are a Girl Scout until the age of 12, and they become Boy Scouts. And I asked, do you want to sit with me in church? And she said, I guess. Yes! It's one of the only two times that my dad got on to me from the pulpit. And there are times that I'll never forget. They've made an indelible mark in my heart. Yeah, she said, I'll never go back there. I got embarrassed. But, you know, that same feeling, and salvation is not a feeling. Salvation is not just an emotional high, just like the song that Brother Dan led the choir to sing. Boy, that touched my heart. Blessed be your name. Why? Because there's so much power in that song. There's so much power in God's Word. There's so much power in the Holy Spirit. And when you think about that day that you got saved and how you excited, maybe the excitement wasn't there. I don't know. But you wanted to tell somebody about what took place. You wanted to share, just like Andrew says, listen, Peter, we found the Messiah. Come and see. You've got to come to this meeting. You say, it wasn't a big meeting. It was just a few guys. Yeah, it was big enough. And Peter got saved through Andrew's testimony. And some of your family members have been saved because of your testimony. And maybe you're a result. Your life is a result of someone else trusting Christ as Savior and bringing you to church or to the saving knowledge of God through Jesus Christ. Evidently, they were about, in the text, in Revelation, they were about the business of the church. They were doing the things right, and they were at least going through the motions right, and but there was a problem. Look at verse number 4. The problem that they had at Ephesus was they forgot their first love. There was no longer any fiery passion. See, sometimes we get excited about things that really don't matter in the long term. In the scope of eternity, it's not going to matter who won the Super Bowl, who won the Stanley Cup, who won the playoffs. In the scope of eternity, it doesn't matter who won the NASCAR, who won the Daytona. It doesn't matter in the scope of eternity a lot of things. But it does if you know Jesus as your Savior. That makes all the difference in this world. They left their passion. They lost their first love. They have become passionless. We, on occasion, not always, because I want to look in her eyes when I say the very words that begin to swoon her to my way of thinking. I love you. And if I don't hear the response that I want, I love you too, then I'll say it again. Sometimes I say it with a little bit more passion. I said, I love you. Sometimes the response is, yeah, I know. I heard you. What? Something's changed in this relationship. And that's what the Lord's saying. Listen, something in this relationship, you're doing things right. You're keeping house with the church, right? You're going along in the right direction. You remember what we had at the beginning when I saved your never-dying, miserable soul from hell? And you loved me. Although the Lord doesn't say it quite like that. I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love. It's not an obligation. Sometimes that's how relationships end up. Well, I'm stuck with you. No. I get to spend this side of eternity with the one, my first love. And although she didn't see it that way at that time, she does now. What it caused the church to forget their first love doesn't tell us. Doesn't tell us, but sometimes we can fill in the blanks by seeing the way our church operates. Sometimes things get in the way. Relationships get in the way of our first love, which should be Jesus Christ. Remember how excited you were? We're going to have a revival meeting. We used to have Friday night revivals before Reformers Unanimous. We had years ago. How many of you remember Friday night revivals? Oh, that's been a long time ago. They would go from church to church. They packed out this building as well as all the church buildings on a Friday night. Packed them out. And just had preaching, just like we're having today. They would have Friday night revival. I had someone recently email me, hey, you remember those Friday night revivals we had? I said, oh yeah. It's been a long time. We haven't had those since I was almost a teenager. And they said, yeah, we miss those. It was a great time. I remember some revivals that our church held and some of the guys that are with the Lord now. We don't have that anymore, and it's just like, oh, why don't we have that anymore? We have a different era, a different time, a different people. God put you here to help us grow. And when we lose that passion, we lose that focal point or that desire to be all that God wants us to be, then we're just filling in time. We're doing things right. We stand up, we sit down, we read the Word of God, we take the offering at the right appropriate time, but our heart's not in it. We've left our first love. Now, going to church is part of our first love. That's a gimme. That's a freebie. Sometimes we think, well, I go to church as often as I can. What else does he want us to do? Does he want us to come all three services? Yes. But it's not about me. It's not what I want. See, the Lord impresses upon our heart to do what he wants. And so maybe everything else took priority. There's a lot of things in our life that take priority instead of serving the Lord with gladness. We encounter from day to day, it takes our attention away so that we forget. We have to be reminded. It's all about Jesus. The singing is about Jesus. It's not a performance. It's about Jesus. We lift our hearts in praise to the Lord. And sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit because we won't sing. We won't praise the Lord. We won't open our Bible. We won't. Oh, it's a willful choice. Something took the place of the love that they had at Ephesus. I don't know what it was. Priorities changed. Years go by and it's not the same. When Dr. Lewis was here, oh, you want it back under Dr. Lewis, do you? I'll let him know. Let me tell you, this is the most fun that God can have or allow us to have on His earth. You can't experience it if you're not a pastor. You don't know. It's a joy to serve the Lord. The planning, the programming for growth, that's what we want. It can consume all of our time. The point is, we forget how simple the Lord has made it for us all. We forget the little things. You remember the joy that someone else had, and in your mind, you may not have said it. You may have said, "You'll get over it." I did, and you will too. I hope I never get over it. You say, "What are you talking about? The feeling?" No. The feeling may or may not be there. It's just like my illustration of a train, a coal car, and a caboose. The train is the fact that God died, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. The coal car is the faith that feeds that fact. The caboose is my feelings. It may or may not be there. I've never seen a train pulled by a caboose. Have you? Not usually. Trains operate without a caboose or cabooses. God gave us feelings. We operate in the Spirit. We trust the Lord as our Savior. We believe it by faith. The feelings may or may not be there. So I don't feel saved. Maybe you're backslidden. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. There's never a time where I didn't want to know. She calls me a little stalker. Sometimes I want to know where she's at on my phone. So I'll say, "Hey, listen, I got this neat app. Just accept it. It shows how fast you're driving." She says, "Let me see you." No, you can't. It doesn't work that way. It's one way. God knows where we're at all the time. My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me. See, the key is following the Lord. You say, "Well, I don't even know where to start. My life is so full of priorities." Wait a minute, start at the beginning, like John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him." Oh, get back to your first love. Get in tune with God. It'll change your perspective if your priorities are right. Verse number 5, it talks about a remembered love. Sometimes we reflect. Oh, you remember when? You fill in the blank. Oh, you remember when? Remember Fellows Lake? You remember the first place that I took her for a date, if you will, was to the New England Fair. It was at Schaefer Stadium, and it was an outdoor fair. I spent a lot of my time in the arcade. She wasn't into the arcade. She kept looking at her watch. "What are we doing in here?" She's way past that. And I thought, "This is great, isn't it? I'm getting a high score on these games." Yeah, we're the only ones in here. And her priorities weren't my priorities at that time. My priorities weren't, I was trying to impress her. Asteroids. She did not care. Sometimes we do that with God. We're trying to impress Him. "Blessed be your name. God, I'm doing a great job, aren't I?" No, you forgot your first love. You've left things that are important. You've forgotten your love. Yes, at the point that you love me, you trusted me as your Savior. I saved your soul from a never-dying a place called hell, and I'm going to take you to heaven to be with me someday, but things have drifted. It seems like we've drifted apart. And you've got a forgotten love. The music leader of a large church led a fantastic worship service. And he had choirs. And out of 800 people, there were 200 in the choir. That'd be a big one. Each Sunday morning, they would receive a note from the same person. The note was always critical, telling him where he had failed to lead worship. Imagine every Sunday for 6 years, someone giving you a note like that. "Brother Dan, for 6 years, this lady did this. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. He prayed that the Lord would change her heart, but it didn't seem to happen, and the notes kept coming until she died. God knows what we can stand and what withstand. Sometimes God puts people in place to help mold us. Can you imagine the critical spirit that someone would have against the church leadership? God allows it. When you lose your first love, you become critical. Nobody measures up to your standard of what you think Christianity should be. Well, I'm glad you're not God. Because we serve an awesome God. Verse number 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. What does that mean? It means get right with God. Repent. Turn from your way of thinking. Have a change of mind that brings about a change of heart, that brings about a change of direction. Repent. And do the first works. Remember how it was at the beginning where you were really in love with Jesus? Maybe you've lost your joy. I don't know. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. First, remember what it's like to have first love. Remember back in the time when you knew the Lord as your Savior. It consumed your time, your thoughts. The burdens you've been carrying were lifted. Many times people will come on a Wednesday night because their lives are broken. What happens? God grabs a hold of their heart. God is trying to get your attention just like this. And He uses circumstances in your life to grab your attention. But if we don't pay attention, guess what? He's going to use something different. And then all of a sudden, things are different. Things begin to get a little bit better. The sun shines a little bit brighter. God has a way of getting our attention. And when He does, things look a little bit better on the outside than they used to. You experience unconditional love of the Father for the very first time, and you knew that Jesus, according to the Scripture, would never leave you nor forsake you. He promised He would love you forever. And so many times we disappoint Him. Well, He's never one time disappointed us, has He? Can you ever think of one time that God broke a promise in your life? And yet so many times people blame God for the circumstance that they've created themselves. The choices that we make have consequences. And it's not God's fault. He allows us to go through things so we can learn. So we'll recognize He's in control. So we'll get back to our first love. Remember the night from which you were saved. Remember the height from which you have fallen, He's saying. Repent, do the things that you did at the first. What do you mean repent? Repent of wrongs immediately and get back to what you did before you came to know the Lord as Savior. Confess the sins you've committed, the wrongs against other people, and allow the forgiveness from the Lord to flow over you, to cleanse you and make you clean. What does 1 John 1:9 say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's never a time where God won't forgive, except if we don't ask Him. Forgiveness is there. Why? He loves us. Well, He loves us unconditionally. He didn't walk away from us. We tend to walk away from Him. Sometimes things take more important priority in our life than serving the Lord with gladness. He will make you brand new. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, the Bible says, and behold, all things are become new. Occasionally, people really mess up before God. I mean, they really mess up, and they damage it so severely. You ever hear the phrase, your car is totaled, and it looks like it's only a dent? What do you mean it's totaled? It's only a dent. Well, it means it's going to take more than the car is worth to fix it than it is to replace it. Sometimes that's how we've told our car on the road of life. God won't forgive me of this. Oh, I'm sorry, He does. He works in special cases. There's nothing too hard that God can't do. The woman caught in the very act of adultery, the one that was, go call thy husband at the well, when she was at the well, and she said, I don't have a husband. And he said, you said right, for the one you're living with now is not your husband. He knew. Those that were tax collectors, tax season's upon us. Our tax collectors need to be saved. They need a touch from Jesus. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to your house. So many times that we think, geez, what are you going to his house for? What do you want to save that person for? Yeah, you've left your first love. Jesus didn't see color of skin, creed. He didn't see anything except the need of mankind for him. Philippians 3:7. But what things were gained to me, Paul said, those things I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He lost everything. We haven't lost everything yet. We may have lost a lot in this life, but we haven't lost everything. Paul thought he was doing God a service by bringing many bound to Jerusalem when his name was Saul. I'm doing God a favor. No. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Who art thou, Lord? But he knew exactly who it was. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. 3 days he was blind because of that light. And I've had people even tell me, I wish I had that Damascus Road experience. I would believe God. Yeah, would you be the Apostle Paul too? And take the gospel to 7 different continents? Would you be the one that God would use as an unmarried evangelist to go around the world in that known world at that time and live in prisons? It was one thing to talk about, oh, like Peter, I will never deny you, Lord. I love you so much, and yet you're going to deny me, Peter. Not so, Lord. I'll die for you. Paul said, Lord, I've asked you 3 times for this, to remove whatever thorn in the flesh he had. Some believe it was something to do with his eyes. At the moment he got saved, his eyes were changed because of the blinding light. He couldn't resist looking at the light. And when he came to the Lord, he really got the goods. He really got saved. He really, you say, well, what's the difference? Some people make a profession, there's no change in their life. They just do it to get you off their back. And some people have a real conversion, a change that takes place. Philippians 3:13 says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul says, I haven't arrived. Many live our life that way. Many people live their lives as if I've arrived. I'm all set. I'm saved. It's a fire escape from hell. Oh, wait a minute. He has so much more for you than just a fire escape from hell. And Paul even considered all the good things that he had done garbage, rubbish. His only goal was to know Jesus even better than he already did. This one thing he says, I do, forgetting what's behind, forgetting the stuff in the past. Next, focus your attention on your first love. Oh, it's easy in this life. Oh, she consumes my thoughts. But you know what? Jesus should consume our thoughts more than the one that we're married to or the one that we love with our heart. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. Verse number 12, not as though I had already attained, he said it again, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 14, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I get the idea that this will not be easy. At the beginning, our families did not get along. There was some apprehensions on both sides. There was intrepidation, if you will. There was some, you're not going to marry her. Well, I'll show you. Are you really sure? Are you really absolutely sure? Are you 100% sure? Yes, this is the one God provided. Just dropped her right in the church. Just for me. You know, our first love, when it comes to our salvation, we were that way. Oh, I'd do anything for you, Lord. Just like Peter. I can't wait to get to church the next time I'm coming. I remember, keep your forks, the best is yet to come. We're going to have a great time. Every time we get together, it's a great day in the Lord. Or it should be. Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. How do we stay focused on Jesus in this world that's constantly going against him? Every turn of the every day is going against God. Well, it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better for the Christians. Oh, why do I want to serve the Lord if it's going to get worse? Because we're looking for the great undertaker, not the undertaker. We're looking for him to take us home. This world's not our home. We invest all of our time, our assets, our resources into things that are tangible, that are going to fade away. I mentioned in Sunday school this week, three people, three different times, a tree fell on their car that was moving very slow and killed them. You think God doesn't know where you're at? God knows exactly. The policeman even said this. If, and I quote, they were going 5 miles an hour faster or 5 miles an hour slower, this wouldn't have happened. You think that's divine providence? You think it's part of God's plan? I don't know. God knows about it. Nothing surprises God. But it makes me realize that he controls our future in his hand. Why wouldn't I want to serve him with gladness? Why wouldn't I want to be right in the center of his will? Right where he can speak to me and I'm, yes, sir, at attention at all, any given moment, I'm on praying ground. I can talk to my Heavenly Father. You know who the lost world calls when they're in trouble? Somebody that has a relationship with God. Most of the time, they're not calling the priest. They're not calling those that are in religious circles. They're calling somebody who knows how to pray. I've even had people say, would you pray for me? They're not saved, not Christians. They know nothing about God except, would you pray for me? I said, yes, we will. Yes, I do. If there's anything within my power, I'll help. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Then I see a rejuvenated love. You know, every once in a while, there'll be someone that comes to me and says, we would like to renew our marriage vows. And it's a great thing. It's a wonderful opportunity for us to go through a service and help them rekindle that commitment that they've made at the altar. But what about rejuvenated love with the Lord? We have a forgotten love. We've left our first love. And then all of a sudden, we get back to what's really important. I think church is important. That's a freebie. Salvation was, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But again, Romans 12:1-2, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. At the altar, that's what we did. It took five preachers to marry us. Five preachers at my wedding, at our wedding, her wedding. I just was there. And it still took. It still took. What do I mean? It means I'm in love with her today, if not more today than I was the day we said, I do. It's exciting. There's a lot of things that transpired over the years. There's a lot of things. Four kids happened. Where did these kids come from? Oh, God gave them to us. Children are a heritage of the Lord. God blessed us with wonderful children that want to serve the Lord, that want to go forward. It took some time, some energy, some effort to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, to give them the desire to want to serve the Lord. Didn't always see the happy side of life, but we serve the Lord with gladness through it. What did God do? Hey, listen, I'm going to give you a heritage. I'm going to make you a blessed person. But if we fail God, it's not his fault. It's our fault. We fail to look at our first love, Jesus, and we each day we present ourselves the offering to, Lord, use me today. Lord, bring someone across my path that we can share the glorious gospel with, that we can have this divine encounter. Or do we just go along to get along? We don't want to make waves. We're just going to, whatever come see, come saw. That's it. No. We have to purpose in our heart. The problem is, we're just a stone's throw away from walking away from God. Any one of us, at any given time. Oh, Peter, yeah, I would never. Be careful. Peter, the one that was on the inner circle, one of the three that were closest to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, Peter, you're going to deny me. Really? Oh, you don't know me very well, do you? Yeah, I know your heart. You've left your first love, Peter. Each day we're faced with new challenges. Challenges aren't bad. Challenges strengthen us, help us. But if we give in to the temptation of the devil, say, just give in, just go away, and just forget about it. It doesn't work that way. Because you remember what I said? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You may walk away from him, but he doesn't walk away from you. So in your misery, in your sinful condition, in your backsliding, he's still there. He's still there. No power can save you except Jesus Christ. No power. The self has been crucified. And that's what Paul said, I die daily. What was he saying? I give my body to my first love. See, my body's not my own. At the altar, I said, not much. You can have my body. It's yours. Nobody else can have it. She's got it. What she wants to do with it, that's her business. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. The Bible says, therefore, glorify God in your body. Serve the Lord. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is skipping church. Everybody else is doing this. Oh, wait a minute. But exhorting. You know, we all need exhortation. We all need to be preached to. There's nothing like a good vacation where I can go to a preacher's meeting. I need to be preached to. You say, well, Justin preaches to you on Wednesday and Sunday nights. I need more than Justin's messages sometimes. I need to be encouraged and preached to. Preached hard to. It changes the way we think. If you sat under my dad's preaching, it was all hard preaching. Sometimes our spirits get drained to the point of becoming depressed, and Jesus often left the masses of people to be with the Father. I think it's so important that we come apart for a season. Men, we pray on Sunday mornings for not just the needs of our church, but for those that are Brother Joe fell two times yesterday. During prayer, I got a text from Vermont. And Mrs. Poisson had already probably contacted most of the church. But Belinda up there texted me and said, "Hey, Pop fell down twice last night. He's going to the hospital." Hey, we were already in prayer for Pop. We're already praying for him. Nothing slipped by God. Not because we were praying, but God already knew ahead of time that he needs prayer today. Hey, the needs that we have, we prayed for the needs of difficulties that every one of us have faced. Different times, health things, safety and travel, children, raising your children in this generation of, boy, lawlessness. Our children need to see a good example. Our children need to see that we haven't left our first love. I haven't so much lately, but I still open the door for my wife in the car. If she doesn't beat me to the door. It used to be she would say, "Get out of my way. I don't need you to open the door. I can do it myself," and that's not the point. I'm a little bit chivalrous. I'll throw my coat on a puddle. I will always stop traffic for her. I will open her door for her. Why? That's my first love. Jesus is my first love. Don't we treat him that way? Lord, I'll be there. I'll be there with bells on. Every time the doors are open, I'll greet people. Like David said, "I'd rather be a doorkeeper at the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." What does that mean? It means you'd miss the blessing if you weren't in the church, in the house of God. Nothing is more important as a family than being in your place in God's house. Nothing. You say, "Well, wait a minute. What about family or work?" Yeah, you've just prioritized God out of your life. He's not preeminent. He's priority. He's important, but he's not the most important. He's not my first love. Hello. We've all been there. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, let him become your first love. See, that's the most important decision anybody could ever make in their life. We need to learn to avoid groups that drain and drag us down. Church shouldn't do that. People at church should be an encouragement. I said in Sunday school, we talked a little bit about love. 1 John chapter number 3. And when people walk through this door, they need to meet Jesus Christ through you. "Well, who's that person coming in? Oh, did you see the way they're dressed? Did you smell them?" Jesus is no respecter of person. Jesus loves the unlovable. We don't sometimes. We kind of shun people that are not like us. We got to learn to get back to our first love. It'll change your perspective on what's really important in your life. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Choir, come on back up here, Brother Dan. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Blessed be your name. We just want to lift